Today I want to begin by taking a page from our Orthodox brethren and sistren, who have the tradition of, during the great 50 days of Easter, celebrating holy hilarity. In fact, priests in Orthodox churches will often, on each Sunday during Easter, tell a joke, because Easter is not only about being happy on one day, but recognizing that it is a season of happiness, a season of joy. And I apologize if you have heard this one before. There was a couple who decided to go travel to the Holy Land, trip of a lifetime, and the wife's mother came with them, and they toured around for a good long time and saw all the wonderful holy sites. They had a local tour guide from the area who was helping them along the way. They had a wonderful experience, and unfortunately, though, at the end of their trip, the mother-in-law died. And so all of a sudden, they had to figure out what they were going to do, a way to have her properly brought back to the United States. And in the midst of his consternation at trying and frustration at trying to get all of these details together, the guide went to the husband and said, "You know, I understand what you're going through, but I think I might have an easier solution. You know, there is no more hallowed ground than what you are standing on right now. Why don't you consider burying your mother-in-law here in the Holy Land and honoring her in that way rather than bringing her back to the United States?" And the man said, "You know, I appreciate that and I thought of that. But the last guy I knew who got buried over here rose again in 3 days, and I just can't take that chance." Oh, the last days have been on our minds, have they not? I am glad to see that we are all here today, that there is no one missing. It's been quite a circus out there, hasn't it? In the media and on the news and certainly all over, you know, the social media, Facebook and Twitter, and all those things have been lit up with, oh, interesting predictions from part of the body of Christ. And you know, as much as we like to poke fun, I understand. Honestly, I understand, because life is hard. Life can be hard enough for some people that it is more appealing to latch on to a date and a prediction of when it's all going to end and we're going to be with God. I understand that. I get it. I mean, there are times when you go through such rough patches in your business, in your family, personally, that it's just the better option to think about God coming tomorrow than to live one more day with whatever it is you're going through. So I understand where people are coming from. I get puzzled at the fact that this seems to be predicted all the time, you know, with fairly regularly from different parts of the world, and yet people still will latch on to whatever the next prediction is. I mean, there'll be another group in a couple of years who's going to do this. I mean, it just happens. But it tells us about ourselves. It tells us about the human condition that it, for some people, is more appealing to live in that apocalyptic moment. Somehow their lives are going to gain more meaning in that apocalyptic moment than they are day to day. Life is hard. We have joy, we have love, but life is hard. Life is hard for Christians. And not in the, you know, victimized way that some folks would preach about Christianity and politics and all that kind of stuff. To live the life that Jesus Christ wants us to here on this earth is hard, because we are beset all around us with options for evil. Options that look at the moment as though they might be very good. options that are self-serving in the end, options that are hurtful to others, that make us look good in comparison. Living the Christian life is about staying focused, about reaching outside of ourselves and, in a way, not being held accountable for not being seduced by that which purports to be good in this world. It's hard. I would say, as a chaplain, it's hardest for young people. In my work at Michigan State, I see young people beset on all sides by temptation that would steal the very center of themselves and put them on paths that lead to nothing but destruction. And things that look good and normal from the outside, but that would make them self-centered, that would make them focus so much on the gain of wealth, so much on the gain of knowledge, that there would be nothing that helped to build their character, their faith. And so when they come and we celebrate together each week, it's a celebration because they could be a million other places doing good things, doing not such good things. They have so many choices around them, and yet they decide to come to a campus ministry when they could be doing all those other things. It's a cause for celebration because that's a tough choice to make. Last night, your young people made a tough choice as well. I was incredibly proud to be here and see these young adults, these young people, build a box city out in the parking lot and spend a night trying to sleep and trying to get some rest like so many people do in this country. They brave the elements. I mean, you heard the rainstorm this morning. It was hard, it was cold, it was wet. And yet they stayed. They could have been in their own beds. They could have been doing anything else. But they decided to come and experience what it would be like. That's tough. That takes guts. And that's exactly what you have to have as a young person who's a Christian in this world. My students will tell you that at Michigan State, and this is not particular to Michigan State, it's in culture, in young people's culture right now, it is easier to come out as being gay on campus than it is to come out as being a believing Christian on campus. And that's a fact. Because the culture is one that says, organized religion, who needs it? Organized religion is what gets people all crazy about, you know, end times and stuff. We get painted with a broad brush. We get painted in and looped in with all this stuff. Very easy for the secular world to say, why would you want to believe what those guys believe? Come on. It's also extraordinarily fashionable right now to be an atheist. Books and books and books written right now. Lots and lots of stuff written and lectures that can be heard everywhere about being an atheist. And I understand that. So it's a hard culture right now to be someone who is a Christian and believes. Someone who would willingly go and be a part of a group, a community, a church, some sort of organization that believed in something as outrageous as the gospel. And yet they come. And your young people here come, and they do crazy things like sleeping in a cardboard box in the middle of the night when they could be in their own beds. But these experiences that they courageously do, that they courageously have, that they participate in, are building in them the character that it takes to be a saint of God in this world. And that's really what we're building. Churches don't realize that, especially when you take a look at these kids and go, oh my gosh, that was the one who was beating up his brother in Sunday school the other day. Or, good grief, you know, I know that kid. You know, they're the ones who, you know, sneak all the M&Ms out of the, you know, bridge mix or whatever at coffee hour. But they're saints of God. They're being built by you through your support. And then I get to be the one who gets them in college. And I can tell the ones who come out of parishes that support them. I can tell which ones have come out of places that have trained them to help, to understand that being out in the world and doing things for others and being faithful to a community is the way to live the Christian life. It's awesome. I don't have to teach them that. You taught them that. And they come to me and they become leaders in campus ministry. And we help to train them further. We help to ignite their passion further as they figure out what they're going to do in life. And then, God willing, we send them out into the world, planted back into the churches in their community to carry the gospel. But it takes guts. Because any one of us could be sitting at home, not coming together, not caring for the next generation, and minding our own business. This past week, we buried an incredible saint of God at All Saints Church in East Lansing, and I helped with that service because she had been for years a supporter of Canterbury MSU. And she was an incredible woman. She was the first female delegate to convention in this diocese. She served on many different boards. She gave so much of her time, talent, and treasure. People knew her. People loved her. She was the matriarch of an incredibly loving and supportive family. A saint. And yet, she wasn't born in unusual circumstances. She didn't come out of any special bloodline that makes saints. She came out of a parish just like this, was reared to love God and serve others in the way that your young people are being reared to love God and serve others. And she knew what to do with her time, talent, and treasure when it was asked of her. That's all we're doing. And that's incredibly important. When those young people got through with their night, their harrowing night, under the boxes, they got it. They will never look at someone who's sleeping on the side of the road again and disregard them. They will never think that this is not something that I should be concerned about. They will understand that one night is bad enough, and I made the choice to sleep out one night and do this. What would it be like if I didn't have that choice and I had to be out there on the street and didn't have anywhere else to go? And they're going to carry that with them for the rest of their lives. In campus ministry, we offer the opportunity for students to forego the usual spring break hedonism and come with us on a spring break mission trip. And we take them to places and cultures that they don't know, that they're not familiar with, and we set them at tasks that are hard. We teach them things that they've never learned before, how to use, you know, tools of, that they've never really had to do before, how to build things, how to be with people, how to clean, you know, messes and come alongside of people who are hurting and broken and just be there, being the love of God embodied in that place. We take them outside of their comfort zone, and they come willingly. They pay to come. Can you imagine? They pay to come and live in really poor conditions for a week and work their tails off and come back tired to school. That doesn't automatically just flow out of a human being. That gets trained into a human being. That attraction to doing what is right. That recognition that the gospel is in that action, that they will meet Jesus in the middle of those actions. And that training begins right here in parishes just like this. It makes me so pleased to be able to come and be at a place like this where I see the love that's here. And you know these young people are watching you. When they get to campus ministry, they tell me the stories of the people in the parishes that they've come out of that made a difference in their lives. Everybody has that story, because none of us got here alone. We came here because we were invited, or the Spirit drew us, usually through someone else. And those are our saints. Martha Seaman, who we buried, would be considered a saint by so many people because of all the lives that she touched. You are the saints today that are helping to raise up this next generation of saints. And then they will pass it on to the next generation after that. That's how the church stays. That's how the church grows into the ages. Today, as you look at these precious young people, remember that it takes guts, now more than ever, to do what they are doing, to live the gospel out in their own context, and that it takes your support to make sure that it happens and continues into the future. Amen.
Amen.